And yeah, man. Look, the hat's back.
I love it.
The famous black Santa hat. I'm wearing my Doctor
I
Strange
love the
shirt,
shirt. I don't know how it
you
applies to
know.
today, but
And of course, it's always morphin' time in the house with the white and green Ranger. I am not obsessed with Tommy Oliver. You are. Call me Jason David Frank. Call me. I know I'm joking. I do love the my Power Rangers, but dude, this isn't about Power Rangers, man. What the fuck is this shit about?
well, everyone, welcome to Marvel Multiverse Mayhem. We'll be with Kyle, of course, who's showing off his fancy Penguins hat if we're
No,
left.
it's just
Oh, I thought it was a Penguins hat, and the NHL
no,
was
it's
going to
just
sue the
red.
shit out of us.
No, it's just red and black. Like,
Like
how
Kingpin's
many
outfit.
of these have you
Spoilers in
found?
the show, by the way.
How many of these have you found? I've
I've never
found
looked for one.
twice. Once many years ago, once a couple years later, and ne never again. Dude, this hat is amazing. Look, it is just a straight up traditional Santa hat, but it's red and black instead of red and white. Because I mean, let's just face it, white is just the most awful color.
Oh yeah,
What?
unless your teeth, my teeth are too yellow. So
Anyways, yeah, growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow. They sponsor the episode. Links in the description below. Genreverse Podcast Network, brought to you by LRM Online, available on LRM's YouTube channel as well. That podcast network, wherever you get your podcast from. And of course, LRMonline.com and genreverse.com both lead to the same areas right now, but landing pages coming in the future. And
Noise.
yeah, Nick, our social media information's right below our names. Well, it's technically right below my box, but it's both
Ever.
of us.
Yeah, but here's a little warning about Grow Generation. This is my
Yeah.
No Shave November. Don't rub Grow Generation products on your face. It doesn't help. With that horrible facial hair joke
What do
out of
you
the way,
mean?
because I have horrible facial hair. Are you using Grow Generation for your beard, even though it's
Nah,
not
man.
meant for that
This
kind of stuff?
is just all
Oh,
natural.
Kyle.
I tried, so I cut off some bulk, and
Yeah.
I gotta still trim. My hands aren't steady enough for good trimming, so Christine's gonna have to help me out some.
I helped my friend shave his head when I was piss ass drunk.
Well, I mean,
So,
shaving heads is e easy.
yeah, but when you're
Shaping
drunk and you're like,
beard is hard.
Oh
Yeah.
shit.
Yeah. So how are we gonna break this down, man?
I
Like,
think Hawkeye
Hawkeye
first.
first?
Yeah, I think Hawkeye first.
Yeah.
That's what they're all rooting for.
Yeah.
And that ties into the holiday spirit. If you see Kyle's wonderful background, it's going between red and green.
Yeah, I got some
Kyle's all
Christmas
dressed
lights.
up. You
Red and
know, like
green.
we're it's December 2nd when this comes out. We're in the holiday season, everyone. We're between
Yeah.
Thanksgiving and Christmas. Like, I need to start my Amazon job soon so I can work my ass off to get your presents to your house if you live in the Denver metro area. So yeah, today we're here to talk about Hawkeye Episode 3 Echoes, as well as our traversing through the past of history, finally making it to the MCU version of Spider-Man in Spider-Man Homecoming. So, of course, with our No Way Home coverage, the movie comes out in a little bit over 2 weeks. I think 2 weeks. Actually, it should be 2 weeks from tomorrow, the Thursday
Yep,
night previews.
the 16th. Yep.
So, did you get your ticket?
Yeah, 16th, 3:30 p.m. at an RPX screen. Christine and I talked a bit about the pre-sales, which we can discuss a little bit. They're good. They're fine. Some people had issues with like app crashes, which
Yeah.
is normal. That always happens. App crashes, but there's not a shortage now.
Only
The
yeah.
7 p.m. shows on th Thursdays for premium
Especially IMAX and
screens.
stuff, yeah. IMAX,
Those
RPX, XD,
it
the big show at
not
Alamo.
all of not all of them, but in certain areas, those ones did sell out really fast. But your regular screens, many of the RPX, like smaller formats, smaller like cinema cafes in big cities, like my area's got a 1.7 million people in it. We've got two IMAXs in the area, and my RPX screen for 3:30 still has good seats towards the middle open.
I haven't checked on mine.
The 7 p.m. sold out, but Friday, easy. Saturday, and I checked today, easy. So I did see that there was some like violence at a few places.
I didn't watch that video, but I heard about it. It was in Mexico, the one I saw.
Yeah, now that outside of America, outside of the U.S., I can't to explain on what is difficult or not for people. But I do know here in America, guys, if you haven't gotten tickets, legitimately, as long as you're willing to watch in a standard digital screen, you probably can get tickets right now. No problem on Thursday, and if you're willing to wait. Or go early on Friday or late on Friday, I guarantee you can get tickets in most places.
Just use the Amazon app since I'm a subscriber, but they don't like if you buy tickets more than 5 days in advance, you don't get to use the season pass. And obviously I was going to buy tickets. Like, I was kind of waiting for it. I was going to be up that late anyway. And I checked before they were supposed to come out and they were there. So I bought the first seat in the big show, which is what they call their version of XD. And stuff where they have Dolby Atmos. It's their biggest screen. It's the most seats. First one to buy a ticket. So I pick my middle seat in the first row. That's not like the first row. You know what I mean? The first row that's leveled.
Yeah.
I'm excited, obviously.
I am too. And I'll say the first day, for full context, since you guys know me, I did dig into the numbers. I don't just let headlines run. So there's a little bit of spin out there as far as what records are broken. We must remember that the only two big movies to come out after Endgame were Far From Home, which you would expect the third movie to outsell the second movie.
Especially with the extra shit.
Right. Except for the Rise of Skywalker, which didn't. And it actually made less money.
Every time.
Right, so there's that one. So it's not surprising that this is outselling Far From Home
for the pandemic,
but only for the first day. But that's the key. This is huge in this post-pandemic era, because despite Omicron fears, there's the several South African doctors and other countries that are saying yes. Well, while we're getting cases, the cases aren't seeing large spikes in hospitalizations. Yet that could happen, but media does play a factor in it. Regardless, this is a positive sign that some extra lazy fucks that were willing to wait for one movie aren't willing to wait for this one.
Because like Spider-Man, if you're a Marvel fan, you can skip Shang-Chi and Black Widow and probably not lose anything about Spider-Man.
Exactly, because like I
connected like at this I, point.
Yeah, like I know. Said, when it comes down to it, hockey arenas full. Indoor football arenas full, AEW, WWE, wrestling full, schools, sports and schools full, shopping full, theme parks full, concerts and little music shows full, theaters of like, you know, Broadway and stages full across the country. And while there's always going to be people that are scared, the overwhelming majority of it is a lot of those people in those full indoor buildings don't go see movies because they're willing to wait. So I am optimistic.
That was my point to you about all of it, is that like with a movie you can wait. Yep. You have to go to that sporting event that concert. You can't like be like, I'll watch it later. It's like, no,
nope.
You can watch it on TV or you can be there as far as a sporting event.
But I don't think people are comprehending the effects of the millions being willing to wait for the movie and how that can really affect budgets, the size of a movie, the money made in a locality that's used to filming, like I said, a crew of 500 for eight weeks of a TV series all of a sudden is getting a crew of 350 for only 5.5 weeks. Like, that hurts. You know, so I look at the macro of it, but I'm happy, man. How do you feel?
Theaters. I'm it super is. Excited, mostly for theaters. I don't care if the movie's popular or not, because I'm going to see it. It doesn't need to be the biggest movie of all time, but it's a good sign for movie theaters, because even though I don't use the main chains, we shouldn't we'll lose theaters here and there. Chain's going to close a few, I'm sure. But obviously, I want the theaters to survive.
And there's a lot of chains that are franchised out.
Yeah.
So they're small business owners with, it's like AMC and Regal, I'm guessing, are very similar to like a McDonald's franchise. You might have a McDonald's corporate,
actually,
but
not.
You don't. No, neither of them do franchises.
All I've worked for is Cinemark and AMC. Everyone answers to the regional manager who happens at the top. Not one's a franchise. They're all placed by the company.
And then
none of them are franchised. I don't know about Regal, but well, I assume it's the same.
Okay. Well, then I stand corrected.
And that means extra checks from region leaders and shit, which fucking sucks. I loved working at a franchise when I was at a restaurant because you didn't have as much pressure from up top for audits and stuff.
So, but it is a good sign. I hope it does better. But I want people to temper their expectations because from everything that I can see, it's people buying a shit ton for just that first day.
Yeah.
But
or even day one, buying all the weekend tickets and everyone else will buy them later, day of. Like, it won't necessarily. Though I have been to two sold-out shows this year.
Maybe.
I went to sold-out Shang-Chi Friday night or Thursday night. I went to sold-out Ghostbusters in their biggest house on a Sunday. Yeah.
And there are some localities that have that, but what I've noticed is my locality is very, very, it seems to follow the box office trends like themselves, like what I see. So when I go and I look at what's being sold in Virginia Beach and Hamptons at IMAXs, when I look at Norfolk's big RPX, when I look at the fancy like cinema cafes with diners and shit in Chesapeake, I'm like, oh, motherfuckers, go see some movies because they're just not. And we've got 1.7 million people in and around those cities that I just mentioned. We're a major metropolitan area. And
yeah, that's scary. It's really interesting. You have far less IMAXs in your area than I do, being in the Denver metro area, and far less XDs and RPXs. And I think AMC kind of abandoned theirs and is the only one with IMAX these days. No, you can have IMAX any company, but they used to have IMAX EHX or something.
AMC. Yeah. Our IMAX is at an AMC in Virginia Beach.
I have at least
Hampton, I don't know.
Seven IMAXs within 30 miles of where I live. Yeah, at least seven.
That many. We have two. Well, we have two proper and one science at like
we the only have,
science
oh,
museum.
We only have one proper, like real 4:3, mm-hmm. and then we have the Science Museum. But everyone else has digital IMAX, which is all this movie shot on anyway. With that 26% more picture,
digital IMAX. So,
Hawkeye.
Preview tickets
three,
are good.
Echoes.
Go see more. So Hawkeye episode 3.
Echoes, because it opens with, of course, this whole spoiler show. We're getting an origin. We're getting Echo's past. Echo. As in, I don't remember her real... Did they even say her real name? They might, but she's...
Maya.
She already has her own spinoff series planned. I actually have...
Maya. Something.
Who I wasn't sure last week, but I'm like, I think... I was talking to my parents because they are actually caught up on it. I'm like, I think she's a Native American superhero. And she is, who's not just deaf, but also is missing a leg.
Yes. Which is some bullshit to train against because that leg is going to fuck you.
Well,
up.
Yeah. At one point in the episode, Hawkeye tries to kick her really hard in the leg and fucks him up. But let's start. What did you think of the episode overall compared to the series? Yeah, let's start with the series.
So I found the beginning to build up Maya to take a little too long. First, we needed to get to see that she's deaf and in a school that's not accommodating very easily. Not that they were being mean. They mention an interpreter. Maybe it wasn't there yet. It's just not a...
Her dad can't afford to send her to a deaf show because
it's not
he's a tracksuit mafia.
Yeah, it's not an efficient... it's not an efficient school. But, like he points out to her, you're going to get exposed to things. You're going to get to learn things. You can teach others ASL and all American Sign Language, all that. So I like that, but I think it could have been cut down some. Getting into Ronan attacking and killing everyone. Here's the thing. Guys, I'm tired of our bad guys having to be sympathetic. I hate how every bad
guy... She's
going to
be a hero eventually.
I know. That,
she's not the main villain of the show. No, I know.
I'm just saying, and it might work perfectly for this, but I'm looking at it after having the evil person be redeemed in everything, just about.
Even if they're not redeemed, I feel like...
No,
Killmonger is a very sympathetic villain. I wouldn't say he's redeemed at the end.
No, not all of them, but many of them are. You look at guys like Kylo Ren. You look at what just happened in He-Man Masters of the Universe Revelation, where the bad lady Evelyn does get redeemed. Spoiler alert, guys.
Is that the Kevin Smith one?
And there's a lot of it, and even if not every bad guy, you're supposed to be sympathetic to. So it's like your father's in the tracksuit mafia. You guys are doing this crew stuff. You're a criminal. I'm sorry, Echo. I don't care about what awful things happened.
I mean, her father killed
in life.
Too. There's no way her father hasn't killed.
You're a
also.
Bad. You are a bad
targeted
guy.
By Ronan for a reason.
You're a bad person involved in bad things. Sure, we might find out a good sympathetic reason for it, but at the end of the day, do you have blood on your hands?
Thomas Hayden Church in Spider-Man 3. My daughter's sick.
I don't care. And look, that's not even me saying that I wouldn't do criminal things to try to, you know, save my child, save my wife, help a friend. I would hope I wouldn't, but I can't say that I wouldn't unless I'm in that situation. But at the end of the day, I'm accepting the consequences, the risks that come with it. So I'm not sympathetic to her yet.
Let me tie in. We might as well tie the two together at this moment when we split it apart again. Vulture. He's doing what he needs to do for his family, as he tells
But Pete. He's a fucking criminal. He disintegrates.
Yeah, no, he is. No, I'm just saying.
Fuck.
He accidentally kills the Shocker. Ooh, the Shocker. Like,
yeah.
And he tries to kill Pete, who's a kid, but yeah. It's the I'm doing it for my family nonsense. And getting a little too greedy, but we'll get to that. One of the early scenes, so we were still in the flashback era of Echoes, and Echo, aka Maya, her dad has to leave her somewhere, and I'm like, oh shit, he's wearing a tracksuit. Mm-hmm. And then I think it is the Kingpin's hand. Fisk, who he even has on what Fisk is most famous for, some nice cufflinks, which they made a big deal of.
It's a very black suit, and it looks on a big body.
Yeah.
But the hand didn't quite look as big as what
I thought. He's back in black, obviously. I don't know. I don't know who else it could be. I don't know what other red herring it could be unless it's nobody. You know what I mean? Because even Hawkeye later talks about you don't want to get in charge of like who's really in charge. And people, I think we were discussing this on Slack earlier, where it's like, why would Kingpin be involved in such a small mafia group? He was in the Hawkeye comic, and he has his fingers in many pies, as we've seen.
Yeah, he's always
in
got
comics. And yeah, so.
Yeah, I just didn't know he had picked up comic book wise the last arc that I fully read went from him ordering the shot on Aunt May, going into Back in Black with Spectacular Friendly Neighborhood and Amazing. J. Michael Straczynski was on part of that. And then going in and ending with one more day. So back then, Fisk didn't have a big family background. There wasn't a whole bunch of this other stuff, I guess, that's come around in the last few decades. I know that there's been family things brought up in the past, but not something that
between
stuck.
Spider-Verse and, at least in the show, Spider-Verse and
this
Daredevil show.
Yeah.
Gave him families. Well, he didn't have a kid, but.
No, he didn't have a kid. He had a love interest.
I mean, not in Daredevil.
Daredevil. He had a love interest, but not like a family. He had a girl he cared for. So I didn't know that there's an actual comic book connection. And with that information, yeah, it makes sense.
Let me give it to the audience. So in Echo's actual origin in the comics, Her father is killed. He was an employee of Fisk's. She doesn't know Fisk killed her father. So even she even calls Fisk father, and he calls her daughter. You know, and this, it's the uncle, you know, like Uncle Fisk's, like he takes care of shit. And then when she finds out Fisk was the one who killed her father, it becomes war against the Kingpin, which is, I'm hoping this kind of builds up to that. And Echo is about her getting revenge with giving Fisk like the main villain role, because, yeah, I mean, there could be a number of things. Another tip off is that at least I noticed, and I guess one podcast or one video guy noticed, is like it's Fat Man Auto, like auto company, not like Dr. Octavius Auto. But
oh,
like,
yeah.
Which, you know, it could be an intentional mislead, like some of the Mephisto stuff. But hell no, I don't know why they wouldn't use him. Even if he has a small role in this, that would get Echo on her show a big push forward, especially because my two theories are either he tipped off Ronan to where her dad was, or that's not Ronan. That's just like how Fisk hired someone else to be Daredevil. That could be someone else.
Yeah.
Because maybe they did slight betrayal to him, and he's like, okay, Ronan, hey, I know a location where there are a bunch of mafia types.
Yeah.
That's my theory with that.
I have no issues with him being in the show.
It'll be awesome.
He's been teased, and it's expected because of the source material. But we have
never
heard
know because
rumors.
Of source material. Yeah,
we've heard rumors that the versions of the Netflix characters that we might get are variants. So
I'm assuming that too. I don't think they'll do the whole story. I mean, I think we would have heard some other reference to the Avengers. Yeah, the Avengers would have heard about the big earthquake and then just uncovering a dragon under skeleton underneath the middle of New York.
Yeah,
and
I think it's going to be like one of those things where it's just they've had similar experiences, so they can slide into the same character that they already were, albeit PG-13.
Which is slightly disappointing to me. It is. The last episode of Daredevil is one of my favorite episodes of it. Maybe it is my favorite episode of any Netflix show. Well, Marvel Netflix, except for I love Punisher even more. Just the big finale, if you haven't seen Daredevil season 3, with Fisk, Daredevil, and Bullseye, like all in one big fight.
And
it's one of the Daredevil best. Wins. It's one of the best things they've done.
It is. It's really, really good. I did have just two things that I did not like about this show. One is simple. Purple for the smoke and the goo.
That's
that makes
intense.
No, I logical,
like it because it's a
tactical sense.
He'll be wearing purple by the end of the show too. Based
but it doesn't matter. He's not purple yet. He's not about branding. He's always throughout this thing. He's already saying I'm about low key shit. And he's got purple.
What if
goop.
It was Agatha all along? I'm just
up,
kidding.
So I don't like. I didn't like that. That's a little bit too much branding. To
at
to
first, the goo
Kate.
Turned me off because I'm like, "What is that? Ditto? They just shot
well,
all over the window."
I thought it was a reference to Big Hero 6 and Honey Lemon's chemistry set, where she actually makes something very, very similar—a ball that pops and it's a goop that can stop things. But it's the CGI of the goo, like that's the worst. Like you guys couldn't just put purple goo on there, like really.
I do like. During that whole
and the
fight
CGI
scene,
smoke.
Them not being able to talk to each, like he can't hear, and she's like, "Make sure to aim it at the tires," and she's like, "Already shot it."
No issue with this scene. Just those two arrows.
How does that action scene compare to action scenes from other shows? It's one of my favorite. It's very street level, which I like. I mean, Falcon the Winter Soldier was pretty street level, but
because the CGI keeps taking me out of it. I'm not going to lie. Oh,
CGI.
Dude. Oh
except
yeah,
for, like, the purple.
Yes. You can tell where there's shots on what might be the volume.
I don't think they've used volume at Marvel except for Ant-Man.
No, they there's rumors.
Okay,
Ant-Man is like I think the first time they said
for
they,
a movie.
Yeah. It looks like it's either that or projectors. Volume style, like where they're using a projection screen instead of green screen. And then there's times you can tell it's very, very green screen. And that type of back and forth between effect shots, it is jarring for me. Other than that, it's great, fun scene. I like the not being able to talk to each other and
the Pym arrow, all of dude. That.
Yeah, the Pym arrow is amazing.
It was so awesome. Christine, I think that would bring bigger attention to it.
Yeah, Christine was a big fan of the Pym arrow. The thing I actually do have an issue with, and it's not even related specifically to this. It actually goes back to as far back as like the first time I ever heard of it and found out it was a thing was an ER episode, like early seasons of ER. So you're talking mid-90s, right?
Right.
There is a group of deaf people that really feel almost as if deafness is its own, for lack of a better phrase, not the word that they use. I can't put it into words, but it's like a race of humans, like the, you know, African American race or you know, Irish race. Yeah. They are very, very, very adamant about the deafness is a life, you know, and some even go
Did you
go
say it's
so
the same
far.
With blind?
I'm not sure because okay. I've never really heard it, but I've heard read research because it's shocking to me. There's a subset of those that fully embrace it, choose not to seek implants, aids, cochlear implants to help improve hearing, if not return hearing. And some that can't, of course, and they fit in with this community, which is fine. I'm not knocking that. But there's this group that is militant where they actually are against improving hearing because they see it as an assault on
who they are,
their people.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, I hate to tell you this. There's nothing wrong with being deaf, except for in the literal fact that deafness is from a defect, an injury, or an illness.
Hawkeye's case, an injury.
Meaning that if someone wants to seek treatment for that, you should never shame them. And you should never, ever tell someone that they're hurting the deaf cause or they're hurting. Because what works for you doesn't necessarily work for someone else. And I'm sorry, but there's a lot of things that people are born with or is a result of a illness that we can't just say they're born that way. We must accept it. There's a lot of deviant behaviors, a lot of dangerous psychiatric behaviors that we can't just say, but by golly, they're born that way. You must accept it. When it comes to deafness, it's one of those that, hey, personally, your choice as an adult choosing to not seek hearing help, that's fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't have that. What I'm saying is you should never fucking shame someone that does want to improve their hearing or gain hearing or fight for their kid to get hearing, because that's what it was in this ER episode. It was
okay. From the 90s, like you said.
Yes, it was the son. It was Dr. Benson's son, and the idea of getting a cochlear implant and then this new deaf familial stuff going on, they were like, no, we don't want that. He's deaf. He's part of us. And that sent me down. Dude, it exists. Look it up. So when Echo comes in and she's like, you rely on technology too much. Your hearing aid. You should do more.
Plus she's trying to fuck with him. Or she's like, you can't hear shit possibly. If I squash this.
But when she said you rely on it too much, that's the first thing that popped into my mind.
I don't have that.
And then her earlier question of, will I have to stop signing? I'm not saying that's the route they're going, but you can't tell me that that's not kind of a fucked up frame of mind to push outward. Like, if that's your choice, but to push out, I mean, come on.
I think it's because she's against Clint. So
possibly.
Like, the minute it comes out of his ear, she doesn't take it out of his ear. The minute it pops out of his ear, she smashes it. Well, she kicks it out of his ear, to be fair.
To be precisely. Fair, yeah. And which is a tactical move. Yeah. And like I said, it's not
just
that.
Used to it. He can barely sign. Doesn't he say, like, I want more cookies or something? it's not to make fun of people with my hands. Sorry.
Right. It's not just that. It's her nice approach to him at first, talking about the hearing aid. That's what gave me this. Are we going to see this? What can be, not always when it's just a personal choice, are we going to see this, hey guys, embrace the deafness, because if you don't, you're harming your people.
I don't think it's an agenda of the show or even the character. I just think that she's grown up that way. She is proud, like you mentioned.
Oh, and yeah.
What's most interesting about her character from the comics is she's basically Taskmaster, only done better in the show because it's not a computer program. She's supposed to be able to fight the shit out of someone just by watching them, which we kind of see where she's learning how to fight the guy when she's a kid, the bigger kid at the gym and stuff. Here's a question. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just nervous right now is all I'm saying. And I gave a big backstory onto why I'm nervous.
Yeah, and I've never heard of that. And thankfully, deaf people can't listen to this, so I don't sound like – if I agree with you, neither of us sound like assholes. I'm kidding. I'm kidding if you're watching this on YouTube with subtitles.
Closed captionings and stuff. Yeah.
Closed captionings suck on YouTube. It's automatic ones. It's so bad. But
they're okay.
We haven't seen Hawkeye with a bow and arrow until this episode, right, with the exception of 2012. Because in this episode, he finally gets the fight scene I've been wanting to see from Hawkeye, where he just, even deaf, he like shoots someone over his shoulder, just like in the Battle of New York.
Yep.
And the ball pit, man. The ball pit.
It's a good one. I love the ball. I love the ball pit. It's a good fight scene.
I think we got the best fight scenes of the season so far, if not several series.
I even like the... where they're still on the merry-go-round, the rocking thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. I
like
more corners.
I know. I liked how Kate is giving relationship advice and stuff. I thought that was really really adorable. It's a fun episode.
Do you think I'm stretching too far when they're them talking? Imagine Dragons makes me think of her conversation with her father about being a dragon. It's got to be at least a joke, right? He's got tickets to Imagine Dragons, and Bishop's like, Imagine Dragons are awful. And then but that's conversation is about dragons.
She's not the one he bought the tickets for.
No, I know, but I just having Imagine Dragons as the band they select in an episode where they mention dragons several times, which do exist in the MCU, even though her father or her don't know that.
Right. I think it's just more of picking some top 40 band that Kate probably
I think it's an accidental dig because like she's considered the dragon. So like she's by saying she hates Imagine Dragons, it's kind of like she doesn't realize she's saying it, but she's insulting Echo. She considers herself kind of a dragon who's stronger because she lived through that world.
I get what you're saying, but I'm saying
Easter egg would be all
the delivery makes me think that it's just meant to be a slight against top 40 stuff.
I like that band.
Know?
They're fun. I can't remember the last song I heard. I
listen
but...
to the most ridiculous things, but I have I have a street cred of metal bands that raise demons in the middle of your living room. So don't test my fucking G, motherfuckers.
So I love the action scenes. I love the deaf humor. It's just right up there with any of the buddy cop humor, especially because he can't hear shit. And they're like, he's like, you need
you
to
drive.
Because when they really originally showed the clip on Disney Plus Day, I had no idea he didn't have he couldn't hear in that scene. So I thought he was like acting like, no, you drive. I didn't realize it was intentional because his hearing aid's been destroyed, which makes it way funnier. And it also makes for one of the most heartfelt scenes in the series, which is talking to his son. When she's riding out with his youngest son, which is when she's riding out what the kid says. And we clarified what Christmas movies meant last week. Did we decide Hawkeye is a Christmas movie because it's getting home for Christmas?
We said that so far.
Because he has to get home for Christmas.
Like,
yeah.
I think this solidifies it as a Christmas movie. We get it wasn't
show,
the best
I said movie
Christmas,
too.
Yeah. It wasn't the best Christmas music. It's a good song, just the version they used during the car
Trans-Siberian Orchestra is one of my mom's favorite bands, I think. I guess who did it?
Either that or I don't think it was Mannheim Steamroller. They're better.
No, my mom also loves them. She loves
their
Christmas music, too.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is they're better than what we heard. I don't know who it was, but it wasn't the best best choice. I would have even went with something more of a rock and
jingle
roll
bell,
metal.
Jingle bell,
no, metal,
bell,
like metal feel. Oh. Like I would have went for like a metal, like hard
there
rock.
Metal Christmas songs. Come on, person just screamed that he likes metal so much. No, I don't want to hear any Christmas songs unless it's on a Christmas movie or TV show. Hawkeye's the one place I allow it right now. I haven't gotten to the movies yet.
I'm saying it's like taking Rudolph.
Christmas.
No, it's just, I'll send you something next since you're an uncultured swine. That I think it's, I know, right. I think it is I think this does, you've got the family elements, you've got the traditional gifts and the idea of selfless
Christmas.
Sacrifice, yeah. The idea of giving something to others, including your time and effort, helping strangers, plus the setting and decorations. So yeah, unless all Christmas stuff drops going forward, which we know it doesn't.
We're getting closer and closer to Christmas.
Exactly.
Episode.
I think it's safe to say this is a Christmas show. Absolutely.
I just picked up on what you said last week. One of the themes of Christmas is getting home in time, and we're definitely getting that plot point. It's like, I'll just be another day, son. Like, I'm sorry I'm missing movie marathon night, but I'll be there for ugly sweater night.
Yep.
This is my favorite episode of the series so far by a long shot, because watching Hawkeye just destroy people with. Yeah. And now it's very interesting. He intentionally doesn't kill anyone. Mm-mm.
She blows up a van and definitely kills
but she has no idea. She's like, this is one of the arrows I can't use.
Yeah, she definitely killed them.
Yeah, no, those people are dead. And Hawkeye would kill if he had to.
She watched it.
That van went.
She knows it. She knows they're dead. She just might not accept it.
Really,
I don't know if they'll address it. Yeah, I don't know if they'll.
And then they do the classic jump and catch and end up on a subway. It's a very exciting action scene. Mm-hmm. Again, we mentioned the Pym arrow, one of my favorite parts. And then at the very end, they're going through her mother's house, and the red herring, who I still think is the red herring, catches Hawkeye with the Ronin blade.
Yeah,
the fiance. I still don't think he's behind it. I think he's a swordsman.
Yeah,
Hawkeye just came into his house with the Ronin sword. If anything, I think he'll team up with them at a certain point.
Maybe
based on the character's comic history.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's way off from the comic character. The comic character trained him. He was a swordsman, but he trained Hawkeye before he joined S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's not doing that, but I think he will come around. He's like called literally the swordsman, is his identity or something in the comics. I don't think they're in a costume, but I think he'll help convince them it's the mom, and then he'll be involved in unraveling the plot. Because he's kind of an idiot, honestly. He's a pretty big idiot.
I don't know. That might just be his boy.
He might be guilty and we're being thrown off by the mom?
No. I'm saying he might be playing an idiot, so the Fisk or the mom or whoever doesn't expect much of him.
That's another thing that I think points to Fisk, is Hawkeye finally brings up that there might be something they got from the Avengers facility. Mm-hmm. And it's like, who would want that shit who has a lot of money more than Fisk?
Yeah.
Especially if that watch is Iron Man tech. Or some people will say the watch might be Kang tech. Possibly, but I doubt that. Just it's a watch, doesn't because Kang is one of the Young Avengers at one point when he's in the Iron Lad, as he is.
But
as we've seen, he has many variants.
Yep, we haven't seen anything.
And I like when you said variants earlier about Kingpin and Matt Murdock. That makes the most sense.
They've been in this universe already. They've been in this.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's not like they just show up because of the snap or something.
Yeah, no. They were
maybe he's an earlier Daredevil.
Having different experiences, but will go through similar things. So that way they're familiar to us.
Don't bring back Iron Fist. Cast a new Iron Fist so I can see Heroes for Hire with old Luke Cage.
He did good in that Luke Cage episode, man.
Yeah, but he didn't do good in his own series.
Season 2 was better.
I didn't watch Season 2 because I didn't like Season 1. I didn't watch Season 2 of Luke Cage or Jessica Jones either. I watched all three Daredevils and both Punishers.
You missed out on Season 2 of Iron Fist and Season 2 of Luke Cage was amazing.
You think those are the two I should go back?
Absolutely. Jessica Jones 2, not
so much. That's the only one I watched a few episodes of, and I was like, not for me.
Jessica Jones 3. Oh, there was a third. Yeah, Jessica Jones 3 got a lot better than 2.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. So we watched them all. Punisher 1 and 2, amazing.
Punisher 1 and 2 are my two favorites still. Russo! And Ben Barnes, who plays Russo, is one of my favorite actors from Westworld.
Yeah. So. Anything else for Hawkeye, man? Can you think? I said what I didn't like. Everything else was good.
I liked everything. I had no complaints with this. I mean, I always like post that. Like, even if I'm on Slack and I'm typing to like my Breaking Geek group, I'm like, hey guys, guess what? I liked Hawkeye. Big surprise there, because I'm off. The only Marvel movie to truly let me down in the modern day is Eternals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. I'm on board with all this shit. So I guess, yeah, we can move on to
it.
Oh, here's my last theory.
Oh, okay.
What if Fisk bought Avengers Tower?
Possibly.
That'd be a big punch in the face to the Avengers.
I think most people are expecting either an O or a B on
Osborn or Baxter. We'll see. I feel like as we move into Spider-Man right now, I feel like we won't see an MCU Norman because they brought in a non-MCU Norman in his place.
I don't know.
Then again,
will he stick around in this one?
That would be the best if he stays in the universe. No, but we need a real Norman who belongs in this universe. I still feel that way even after seeing different. And we have 3 more movies.
Yes, indeed.
Another trilogy, as I've wanted. I want to see him grow up. I want Spider-Man to grow up.
I'm excited about that. You guys can hear us talk about. I actually said nice things about Amy Pascal, man. Before we get to our ad break, Real Generation, I promise you, because we got a whole movie to talk about after this. I said if what she said and Feige has said is true, that for her it was never money, it was stories, and that she did by her own words in that book admit that they were doing bad stories.
Thank you, Carol. Bravo. I still think it's bad money too.
Bravo for that. Okay, that being said, I had issues with Tony Fox or Vince Sicara. Fox and Vince Sicara are the last names. Back in 2019 when the deals fell apart,
mm-hmm.
and Sony was like, we're taking a ball and going home, which is why I think Far From Home had his identity released and he was going to go to San Francisco, and that
Morbius
was Venom and stuff. But they were like, oh, we got the Marvel playbook. We can do this too. I will applaud if Kevin and Amy were able to tell them, shut your goddamn awful fucking mouths because you don't know Jack fucking shit, Fox or Vince Cara, fucking at me, please. I will tell you every fucking mistake you've made and show you by fucking dollar amounts and angry internet
doll
posts.
Hair amounts?
Dollar. And then with that, if she did indeed admit the mistakes and clean house and make the better business deal, then yes, Amy Pascal, good job. You've made up for being a fucking idiot beforehand.
The Venom films still blow.
Still suck. Yeah, Grow Generation, go with
Grow
it.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
We're back.
Yay!
We're back, everyone.
Time to do.
We're
Spider-Man.
Now going to jump in full throttle to the first Marvel Studios Sony collaboration, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yay!
Fans online, everyone hates Tom Holland. I don't know why. Like, I see these lists I mostly agree with, and they put Homecoming and No Way Home at the end of the list. And I'm like, I agree with you on Spider-Man 1 and 2 and Spider-Verse. What the fuck is wrong with, like, they always say, like, it's not true to the comics. It's way truer to the comics than the original Spider-Man movies. The original Spider-Man movies, he spun webs without a machine. And then you know where a real spider spins webs from? Not his arms. That's what always bothered me about a Spider-Man. He would shoot webs from his ass if Tobey Maguire got real web powers. And like other things where they're like, it's, you know, like,
which Venture Brothers
well, and it's
makes
MJ,
a joke
and it's
about
like,
that.
No, he started as Gwen Stacy's the first important love of his life.
Yep.
And it's like, you just, and there are equal complaints about Andrew Garfield, where it's like, you're delving into his, we don't need to discuss Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man anymore.
No, you guys go
anymore.
Check our other review.
It was 2 weeks ago. That was 2 weeks ago, if you want to hear us insult that. But we got to watch one of my favorite Spider-Man movies. Same as your, is it your second favorite, would you say?
Behind
Mysterio?
Spider-Verse?
Yeah, you can include Spider-Verse. I put that one much lower because
so
I just don't get animated
for me,
as much as...
For me, it would be Far From Home, probably Spider-Verse, and then Homecoming, and then Spider-Man 2.
I was thinking hard about it last night. I think I like
and then one.
Homecoming better than Far From Home because
no,
Michael
fuck
Keaton...
You.
I know, I love
fuck
Mysterio,
you.
But Michael Keaton fucking... Like, the car
oh,
scene...
Great.
Where they're like, when he's figuring it out, awesome. He's like, weren't you happy your old buddy Spider-Man was there? Actually, Peter didn't go up with us. It's like, And as the light's turning green to red, red to green. He gets the green vulture or even green goblin color on his face. And he's like, and then he has the father-son, the father-boyfriend talk.
I love it.
I love it. And I watched it 2 days ago. Still nearly perfect film.
Today.
Watched it today.
Yeah. It runs fine. I did notice they nerf Happy back to like Iron Man 2 time, like how goofy
the
he
assistant.
Is in Iron Man 2 versus Civil War type mentality versus Avengers type mentality and what you would expect him to be like after Iron Man 3.
After being injured for most of the movie.
Yeah, it's fine because it is reminiscent of old Happy, but it's when you get to Far From Home, he's much more capable and things only kind of – he only kind of loses control once the airplane is blown up, you know? And even then, he's still making logical decisions.
How
so.
They don't listen to him about that. Whereas Tark did listen to him earlier. He's like, why do you think the FBI was there? Like, I called the FBI. This is not an Avengers-level threat, but this is not a you-level threat. You're a kid. If they died, that's on you. If you died, that's on me.
Yep.
You're nothing without the suit. You don't deserve the suit.
Yeah, I loved all of that. I guess to just kind of go over my points, just a few of them. I think the music that they chose – fits very well with almost
not just the score but the like
score. The score they do went very very well in all of the Spider-Man films as far as instruments used and kind of that really plucking string feel to it. And then
guy in the chair,
however, it's much better, more fluid, more less Elfman. but not that it was all bad from him. Not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's less than that because
still has the best Spider-Man and Batman score. I don't care who else you throw at me.
Because in Amazing, they try to replicate but modernize it, and
it's terrible.
Awful. And so this was, hey, Elfman's stuff is good. But here's how you could actually modernize
it. Make it lighter.
So
we forgot to mention earlier, as far as the new trilogy, that John Watts is moving on to Fantastic Four.
Yes.
We'll have a brand new director or directors. But I was thinking about it the other night. I'm like, most of the movies have the same director for the trilogy or at least two films. Not all of them. Thor, definitely not. Though the next Thor is directed by the last Thor director. Favreau, definitely not. Whedon,
both
definitely
caps.
Not.
Caps hat both Cap 2 and 3 were the Russos.
Cap 2 and 3 and Avengers 3 and 4 were all the Russos. But like mostly these days they keep the same director
for a couple of them.
Yeah. Peyton. Well, Ant-Man's going to have Peyton Reed for 3 movies. I guess we're not into that many other trilogies right now. Obviously we had John Watts for all of Spider-Man. We had Doctor Strange actually lost its director, so that
Taika's getting two Thor movies. So,
yeah.
Couple other points. Flash. This Flash is the best version of
absolutely
the smart bully. Like, he's not a big jock to sit there and be like, oh, the big jock's going to be the dummy bully that needs a tutor. No, he's a smart kid. He's very well aware.
He tries to answer before Parker in that one class. And she's like, look, Flash, just because you're first doesn't mean you're always right.
Yeah, he's definitely, even though he doesn't invoke the images of Flash Thompson, he's definitely a better smart bully here. The kids are all more realistic. Liz, you can obviously tell, is older. She was like 24, 25 mm-hmm. when she did the part. Everyone else was like starting at, you know, 17, a little bit 18, older. 19.
Yeah, but a little bit older than filming. Sophomore year, but believable compared to still, the other two actors.
And I think that gives a lot of them a very more realistic feel. Like, I buy it. I don't necessarily relate to all this stuff, the fucking air horn insults, fucking zoomers, but yeah,
Venus Parker.
But I can appreciate it. And then this Peter has more vulnerable moments. I was complaining about how often in modern movies the adults are all dummies, they all make mistakes, and the kids are these immaculate geniuses that even though they make mistakes, they can get through it barely scathed.
Peter needs this Peter, Tony for
this
most
this Peter
of
Parker
it.
He needs help. He fails miserably. He gets hurt. He gets beat.
He almost drowns.
He comes out on top by applying the lessons he learned, and all too often you'll see movies just ripping into the mentor or the older generation where the kid is always right. And this was a case of sometimes the kid is right and sometimes the adult is wrong, but usually there's going to be another adult that's going to be right, and that was Tony. You know? Tony was right, and Happy was wrong, and Peter was right and wrong. It was balanced, you know?
And that's
I liked it.
My major complaint with these movies, my only really complaint, because I love them, and I get over this complaint, is that we're given two Iron Man villains. I mean, there's Spider-Man villains in the comic, but we're given two villains who hate Iron Man. Mm-hmm. This one, and then we'll be discussing next week, where it's like, Volt. But I also, like we discussed earlier, I kind of love the idea of a guy who bought a bunch of trucks to help clean up, and then he's like financially bankrupt and he's just trying to protect his family.
Yeah.
It starts with the photo his daughter drew of New York. He's like, isn't that great? And then the best twist of the whole movie, you know, he's been to her house for the party. He has no ideas. And he opens the door and the vulture's there. I've never heard a bigger gasp in a theater than that, where people are like, oh, I think I since I heard someone say, oh fuck.
Yeah.
At that moment, you're like, did he track down Peter Parker? Oh, he's her dad? That's even worse. We've never had a villain that, except for Harry Osborn and Norman. It's like Mary Jane's father in the original trilogy was a super villain or anything.
Yeah. It's a shocking moment. Go over some of your notes and points, man.
I didn't write a lot, honestly.
Make the chapter work easier.
I have a big theory as a cut turns to No Way Home. I think the Tinkerer is the final member of the Sinister Six. Who do you think has some extra parts laying around that could help Electro plug an arc reactor to control him?
I wouldn't Tinkerer. Be against that idea. I don't want him to be the actual sixth member. I don't mind him being in the background.
I don't think he'd fight. I think he's in the background.
It really needs to be Vulture or the Team Mysterio. Whoever's doing the Mysterio bit
six,
but
I don't think
we're
getting the full six. But why wouldn't we?
We have to get a full six, and it needs to be.
What's the missed opportunity?
But here's the thing. I brought this up before. The Lego sets do not always give something away, but they often do.
Ooh, what have you seen?
I've seen two Lego sets. One has a scorpion bot, and one has Vulture.
That would be seven.
And both are No Way Home sets. But again, they will put things that are related to the characters, but not related to the movie. But then you'll get ones where they put some, like Giant Man in Civil War. Like, yeah, that was spoiled by Lego. And that was a legit one.
Okay, so here's the...
So it should be Vulture, in all honesty. So would you
think it's going to be Scorpion, because Vulture's in the Morbius trailer.
I know, but wouldn't you be pissed if there's no Holland villain in this movie?
I actually wouldn't be upset. I just need a full six. Even if they brought Venom in as the six, I just need a full six. I think it's almost better if Holland is not a Holland villain. Because all the Holland villains we've seen so far are still related to Stark, except for Scorpion.
But now they are straight up. Well, yeah, Scorpion.
Every universe. None of them even know a Stark, assumedly, and right. I hope that remains that way.
But here's my point on why to me it should be Vulture, because I think he's got the biggest connection. You know, still a personal. Now it's personal. It's not Iron Man. It's not, I'm mad at what Iron Man did and the kid just interfered. Now it's the kid ruined my life. So I'm okay with that. Now, what you just said, Scorpion is not having anything except towards Peter. You think of the Homecoming, the movie we're talking about.
Zach the Mundo.
At the end credits, he says, you know, this isn't on you. It's on our little spider friend or
Who
bug friend.
Who is that? I heard you know who he is.
Yeah, and we see Vulture in Morbius, and there's a character in that movie that can shift through universes or dimensions or whatever. I don't know. And like I said, I still think it could potentially be Team Mysterio. I call him Team Mysterio because it was a team.
It's not the man.
The guy downloaded the information. So you might even see multiple sixths, if you will, via Team Mysterio. But here's the other potential. What if Ock doesn't join?
That was
and
my
there
other
are
thought.
Two other spots to fill: Scorpion and Vulture, or Scorpion and Team Mysterio.
I know we're probably getting the Spider-Men, but whenever they show that shot of the Lizard's head snapping back, I'm like, I wish that was Doc Ock joining Peter Parker, not other Peter Parker.
And I think
that would be amazing.
Possibility.
I almost think Norman will come close to being an ally, and then the finale he'll have the non-helmet version. I don't think that's a different Goblin. Hey, what else about Homecoming? I loved it just as much as I did the first time. It's a great movie.
What would you grade it, like ABC plus minus? Just a solid A?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise I have to give every other Spider-Man movie I like more than an A plus.
Oh, I do. And there's only one I like. Well, Spider-Verse is an A plus movie. And Far From Home. And yes, guys, I am 100% biased for
I love
Jake
Fire
Gyllenhaal
From Home too.
Mysterio.
I just had to go with the Vulture played by Michael Keaton over Mysterio.
I don't think people understand, like, from comics, the show, and a few games, like, that is from the time I walked out of the theater in 2002, that is what I wanted to see was Mysterio, man.
Well, maybe we'll get both because that was a big beach. I'm sure a few arc reactors were lost, and someone gives Electro one. Hopefully it's not from a Stark from his own universe. Like, so it could be a Tinker / Vulture situation. It could be, you know. I don't know. It's very interesting to think about where they could go, considering we haven't even heard rumors about those two. At least I haven't, except for the action. Except for the Legos you were talking about. There's like no sign of them. Mm-mm. Even tease in the trailer.
Nope.
Like, I would almost believe Venom more based on the end of Venom 2, but I'm pretty sure that's not happening either. And you can't bring five villains in and not do the Sinister Six.
I know, right? Right?
That would be such
Unless
a
Sony
waste.
Sony was just really, no, we will have our Sinister Six movie, which, again, guys, stop making bad guys into good guys. Stop it.
What if
let us have some fucking bad guys, and let those bad guys be women. Let those bad guys be guy men. Let those bad guys be white and Hispanic and Asian and black. Let bad guys exist across all of human history. Trust me, the past was the worst, and every single culture on this planet has committed atrocities against its own people and people around it. So for the love of God, can we have evil fucks to hate in movies? Please give me evil to want to hate and see destroyed, because I miss that.
Sounds like Lizard and Electro to me. You have no redeeming features. Sandman, either Doctor Strange is wrong or he was murdered later by Peter Parker after the movie. And Doc Ock is definitely relatable, which is actually why he's my favorite Spider-Man villain.
Yeah.
Once he gets control of the arms, he's like, listen to me now.
I'm not against it.
And Goblin's just pure evil.
Yeah, I'm not against it ever happening. It's fine to have... Look, Thanos is a prime example of a good way to do...
Thanos was right.
The villain with an altruistic cause.
But
that,
still evil.
Yes, we should try to solve this resource issue.
That's not but the he's way doing do a
bad,
Thanos.
He's yeah. doing a bad thing. So that is that character that you want to reach through the screen, throttle him and be like, you could do... Why don't you just snap more food, motherfucker? You know?
Musical chairs guy. He's too big a fan of musical chairs.
You know, so it's like I just still want I go back to this talk I had with Ed Brubaker at Comic-Con in 2009.
Nice.
It was when
Winter Soldier man.
It was when Uncanny 500 came out and he was writing it. And I was wondering, like, dude, you made Magneto a bad guy again. Like, he's been good for so long. Why the big change all of a sudden? He's like, because Magneto's a bad guy. And, dude, like...
The movies get annoying from that point. Where, like, at the end of First Class movies especially, they're like, you're not so bad, Charles. You're not so bad, Eric. Let's play chess.
Yeah.
Don't do it again, though. You better not do it one more. Oh, you did it three more times? Come on, Eric. We're friends. We're both old white men or young white men with too much hair. If you're looking at the prequel movies.
Yeah.
Not prequel, alternate time. I don't know. But yeah, no, Originals. I thoroughly enjoyed watching Homecoming.
Yeah, it's a solid A film. If Spider-Verse and Far From Home are my A pluses.
And Spider-Man I still 2 think
would be an A.
I still think it has the best post credit scene of all of them. The patience. Sometimes it pays off. Sometimes it doesn't.
Oh yeah,
the captain.
That's all.
I that's think awesome. That's one of the best because it's just trolling all of us.
Oh yeah, all of us.
I remember seeing that theaters for the first time. My mom ran to the bathroom. I'm like, make sure to come back in time for the final one. And she came back, and it was just Captain America walking out and being like, patience. Sometimes it pays off. Sometimes it doesn't.
It's awesome.
I do more troll. Of these.
It's an awesome troll. I loved it. So I guess that's it, man. Let's wrap this hour-long
wrap it up.
Everyone check out lrmonline.com every day for all your entertainment news needs and opinions. Be sure to subscribe on our YouTube channel and LRM's Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcast from. Fucking hell, we got a lot of really great shows. Marvel Multiverse Mayhem as usual, the Cantina, the Daily Cup of Genre, lots of appointments this week and holidays last week, guys. We're trying to keep it daily, but yeah, we're doing good content. And of course, Anime Versal Review, Breaking Geek, and the Dragon Review on Wheel of Time. So all of that, guys, is available for you for free on YouTube, LRM's YouTube channel, Genreverse Podcast Network. And please share, subscribe, thumbs up or down, leave some comments. Nick and I have our social media information down below. Hit us on the twits. And Nick, what do you want to say?
As you mentioned, Breaking Career of the Podcast is my child. I birthed it with the help of Jonesy. We both like pushed it out at the same time, I guess, in some weird situation. But this week this week on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, which comes out Friday, I had to watch Bruised, which I didn't enjoy, directed and starring Halle Berry. I had one of those lines in it where Leo's pointing at the screen because it's like, they said bruised. And but we're also doing all of Cowboy Bebop, which is far more interesting to me to discuss the complete season of Cowboy Bebop, which I enjoyed a lot. So yeah. Check that out and all the most recent news on Friday.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Nick's got something to say.
Excelsior.
Not sad. All right.